know that this public holiday last year, I was meant to be here, but I was actually in hospital instead. It was this day that I, I think lots of you don't know, but I had a bike accident where I can't even say it. Smash my face. That's right. Face smash. And it's kind of weird for me actually that it's a year ago, because some of you guys know it was my dear darling Penny's face looks so sad right now. I'm sorry, Penny. I was going to say some of you know that it was actually very painful, and I just actually wanted to share with you what I learned from it, because I think that I hope that there is some possibility of us all using it in some way. That's something my dad has taught me. In fact, I remember, at one point he actually said those words to me, like, use it, Tam, you've got to use it. And my dad's really good at giving me advice in really hard times that I usually reject, but then I end up teaching it to other people later, which is kind of funny, isn't it? So one of the things that I learned, this is also from my dad, about it was that because what happened, my face was smashed, my lips were like broken open up through here and here, and my teeth were all broken. Fake teeth now, and there's so many things I want to tell you. One is like the overwhelming tenderness of people, and like I can see it right now in your eyes, the tenderness, right? Like we it's so easy for us to focus on people being fuckers, don't you reckon? But actually, there is such overwhelming connection and tenderness in all of us. You know, like even telling you that, I can feel that. It's so beautiful. And have you ever seen anybody who's had an accident and been there at the time that it's happened? Has anyone else had that? Like I once was walking along and I saw this young, beautiful woman get, she got hit by a bus. We stayed with her until the ambulance came, and it's always stayed with me. It's always stayed with me that there is this overwhelming innate need that we have to look after each other. Don't you reckon? Have you ever had anything like that? And 2 weeks ago, I was sitting out the front of where I live, and the accident happened on the street where I live. And this man, it's actually on Forest Street, which is quite a busy walking street. Lots of people walk along that street. And this man was walking along, and he looks up at me and starts walking to come up my stairs. And I'm like, oh. and he goes, are you a yoga teacher? Like, uh-huh, yeah. And he goes, did you have a bike accident? I was like, uh-huh. And he goes, I was the person that called the ambulance. And he goes, I thought it might have been you. I just really wanted to see you. I wanted to see that you're okay for myself. And because I'd seen that the bus thing, I could understand how he felt. Like, I've always thought about this young woman, like, is she okay? And this really stayed with me, and him coming over, like, really, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Look, I'm fine. Which, don't you think it's kind of funny? Because, like, you don't usually go, hey, look at my face. And so... That, you know, because it was quite shocking, and afterwards, when I was getting my teeth fixed, you know, I had to go to this laboratory place where they put on the screen, like this big screen, a picture of what your new teeth are going to look like. And I'm sitting there, I'm pretty much recovered by this point, like all the stitches had gone and all that kind of stuff. And I was so looking forward to getting like my teeth, because it was, I don't know if anyone's ever had anything like that, but it's actually quite painful. And anyway, so I was like, oh, I can't wait for this to happen. And so I was incredibly disappointed when I saw on the screen, on this huge screen, like the middle of where your teeth go. And I was like, oh, they haven't got it right. you know, like it's not in the middle, you know, like, you know how this line is meant to be in line with your nose, you know, in line with the, like, what they call the Cupid's bow kind of thing. So I'm sitting there looking at this screen going, oh no, you know, like, it's not right. And, you know, like, how am I going to say to this person, can you redo this thing that's taken you like 6 months, right? I'm going, well, it's just not like, it's not in the line of where the middle of my teeth used to be. And he's going, yes, it is. Because, you know, I'm sure people like that, they're very, you know, like, that's, you know, that thing of like when you, it's easy to judge other people for not being exactly like you, but isn't it lucky that they're not exactly like you? Because I would find that really hard to be so particular for 6 months working on something precisely. It's not, do you know? You know how I told you that story of being in Heathrow Airport one time and just being so stunned by all the people involved in any kind of travel that we've ever done in our lives, you know, that all, you know, like air traffic controllers, like someone in here may be like that, maybe not. You know, I don't think I'd be very good at being really on time with that kind of thing. And so it's so lucky that, like, that there are, do you know what I mean? So anyway, so this guy's like, you know, no, it's accurate. And I was, but so he goes, no, it's your lips. He goes, it's your lips are not right. Anyway, see what I mean? See? Overly emotional, right? I'm like, oh! And then I realised, oh, that is what it is. It's like where it's sewn back together isn't, please don't look too carefully now. I know, because the thing is, you don't probably even notice that. Like, you know, when I've been talking, you probably have been going, Tamara, your lips aren't right. Because we don't notice it. And that's my point. That's really what my point is that was a screen blowing it out of proportion. But have you ever blown anything out of proportion? Right? Everybody does that. That's how, that in fact, it's good that we can sometimes enlarge and focus fully. Like, there's a reason that we can do that. It's really good that we can. But what if it's causing us suffering? Right? What if we're doing it at times that's not helpful? What if we're doing it particularly at a time when we probably need all the help we can get? Do you reckon? So anyway, I had not got to that point yet. I was just still like, oh my God, my lips, my hair. And I get into the car and with my dad, who was waiting for me because, you know, I'd lost my license, which is how come I was riding my bike, which meant that I couldn't drive myself to any appointments after this whole thing. So it was like this constant, I felt like constant punishment. Which, do you ever sometimes feel like life's constant punishment? Do you ever feel like, you know, like it's, oh, why is this happening to me? Right? That thinking is suffering as well. Because actually, how lovely that I got to have time with my dad driving around, you know, and everyone else who drove me around, you know, like it was really, you know, like lovely, like periods of time just being together in this gratitude because everyone was really happy I was alive. Do you know? Like my kids, you know, June knows my family very well. I'm like, they were just like so tender and kind and like whatever I needed, you know, like, do you ever find that you're like that when you suddenly realise, oh, I'm so, and I personally think that a lot of us have had this because of what's happened this year with the pandemic, is that we started to really appreciate actually what we have and like how important it is to be together, do you reckon? You know, instead of like what we want to get, we actually appreciative of what we already have. So there's so many parts of my story. I'm trying to hurry up for you. So I get back into the car with my dad, and you know, like he's like, oh, Tam, you're okay, because I'm like visibly upset, and I'm like tears coming out. I'm like, oh, I look like the Elephant Man, Dad. Because Tam, you've got all the basic features of a face. Right? Uh-huh. And I mean, it's like so often it just comes to me now, you've got all the basic features of a face. Which again is like one of those things of like, oh my God, really? Like, this is not helping me, Dad. But actually, it really is. It really does. And that's the truth of all of us. We all have that. We can so much take for granted like what we think we should be like, but actually what we have is so beautiful, right? So one of the things that I've really learned from this is this idea of, you know, that life is happening for us, not to us. it's easy to think it's happening to us. And the problem when we think of that, you know, that thing of why me, which again, who hasn't thought of why me about something, right? But what about if we're like, well, why not me? You know, if we consider what, how we can use it, right? It's like, you know, that there's another big long story about, you know, like it's actually fertilizer. You know, what if we use it for fertilizer? What if we use it for growth? And see, like some of you guys I know well, and I know that you have, like, because by the way, who hasn't had challenging tasks? I can assume, if I don't know your story, I can probably guess you have had, because that's life, right? I mean, has no one ever disappointed you, right? Have you never felt betrayed in some way? Have you never had your trust broken in some way? Have you ever felt unsafe in some way? Like, do you see what I mean? Like, it's part of being alive. And at the same time, like, haven't we all, you know, known great love and connection and joy and been really in the experience of beauty and the intimacy that comes in those times that aren't even necessarily what we would call pleasurable? And this idea in yoga is that, you know, we want to, if possible, to practice being less attached to pleasure and less averse to pain. And it's understood that often that we do this extra seeking of pleasure when we don't find that there's meaning for us in life. Do you ever notice that? Like if things aren't feeling meaningful for you, you're more likely to be like wanting. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to. In fact, it's extraordinarily important to every day to be making sure that you are doing some things that you really enjoy. So I'm not saying like eschew pleasure altogether. I'm just talking about noticing how sometimes we can become too attached to it because we may have fallen into the trap of the what's called the avidya of which is actively being in the state of not knowing the truth of our being, right? Which is thinking that life is happening to us when really it's happening for us. Like by the fact that we're alive, it's like we have the proof right now. So I just thought I might share that with you, that if you can catch yourself in that suffering that comes of the why me thing, which, you know, that we generally are aware of suffering, you know, like talking about my teeth, right? You probably aren't saying, oh, my teeth are fantastic, I love my teeth, I don't have any pain in my teeth. You generally don't think about how lovely something is unless it's painful. Don't you reckon? Do you find that? Like, so if we're suffering, if there's pain, we're generally aware of it. But the thing is that I think we sometimes have a habit of like the, you know, like the victim, like the elephant man face kind of victim thinking, right? Right? Not saying, probably you're not that dramatic to be like that, right? But if anyone can in any way relate to that extreme, that thinking itself is causing like a path into suffering, and it's so important for us to kind of just let ourselves shift out of that. And there are practices that help us to do that, and they're called purification techniques, kriya. And see, this is the other thing that I find amazing, is that after that, you know, after this happened, you know, like at the time that it happened, I actually had this like, I guess it was like a near-death experience, I guess, I don't know, because I just had this profound experience of being in light, in pure light. And it stayed with me so much. I mean, obviously I forget, like when I think I'm the elephant man, right? That's when I forgot, right? But when I remember it, when I bring myself back to that, it really, I feel like it's like, yeah, that did happen for me. So that I can really, really like hold that for you, that these practices that we call kriya, where we visualize light, it's a pathway into knowing the truth of that you are. So one of these practices is we imagine a ball of light coming up through your body and then back down, and it's called Hum Sa, and Hum is the mantra of transformation. And because, see what I mean? Like, well, I certainly needed to transform. Do you ever need to transform? Right? So it's like a willingness to transform. Okay. So Hum and Sa is the root of truth, and so that inspiration and truth of light of being coming down through your body. And this idea in yoga is that, you know, relating to the grey matter, which you've got a lot of grey matter in your brain, obviously, right? So this is conscious, subconscious, unconscious. So this idea is actually kind of being knowing that there is part of us that's beyond thoughts, like when that is pure consciousness, that is in awareness of even what we refer to as unconscious or subconscious. So we're kind of like bringing light into that area, okay? So hum as you breathe in, sa as you breathe out. It's like you're imagining this light. And, you know, the yogis believe that we have like different layers of our being, and the outermost layer is the physical. And then in from there is the pranamaya layer, which is your like carried on your breath layer, the life force. And then in from here is the mind layer of your thoughts. And so each of these is progressively more subtle, because your thoughts are more subtle than, like, you know, your body kind of thing. And then deeper in is referred to as the wisdom layer, the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And the way that we access the wisdom layer is through mantra and through visualization. And so this hum sa is a mantra and it's a visualization. So the reason why I just went through that detail then is because even if you don't like actually fully feel it yet or can see it yet or know it yet, visualizing it is helping you to get closest to the deepest layer of your being, which is bliss. And I believe, and I really do, I do trust that all of you in some way know and can relate to what I'm saying, that no matter what it looks like on the outside, right, no matter what our faces look like or what our bodies look like or how we're at, you know, like how it might be perceived, that we know we've all touched into those times of pure bliss, and you can know it as yourself and you can know it with each other in connection, don't you reckon? And it's so subtle, right? It's your, but it is you, it's your deepest self. And the idea is that we all meet here. So this practice is getting you by visualizing the and repeating the mantra, hum sa, which is meaning I am that. That's what it means. It means I am that which is not how I look and not what I think and not what not all the things that we think we are, you know, not the job that you do and not any of the things that you say about yourself, that you are that which is all of that, like infinite basically, right? So that is the truth of who you are. And again, this is something that may sound a little weird, but you know how you can see a photograph of yourself when you're a little child, and you can remember being, you can maybe even remember when the photo was taken, so it was you, right? But you look totally different now, don't you? So you can see what I mean, how you're not your body, although many of us, that's what we focus on more, and sometimes even blow it out of proportion. So anyway, hum as you breathe in, sa as you breathe out is your way into knowing. And it's like it's something that as you practice more, this concept in yoga of the sadhana, of the practice itself, that the practice itself, it's like training for life, and then that is training itself, if that makes sense, okay? So this is this concept of like no effort goes to waste, okay? So we're going to imagine this ball of light coming up through your body and then floating back down. And maybe you'll even like feel, oh, wow, you are light. But you don't have to. You're not trying to get attached to having that happen, okay? So let's bring the back of your hands onto your knees. You can lay down and do this, by the way. You know, this is one of the practices that I really actually felt was actually being done. After that happened to me, I just was kind of like so often like living in this hamsa. Obviously, I hope that never happens to you, that it comes to you like that. But if something challenging ever does happen in your life, it's nice to have this kind of like groundwork as well. But that's not necessary that it has to happen, okay? So bring the back of your hands onto your knees and have your thumb and first finger touching. And just let your tongue drop in your mouth. And just picture that pure white light. Just imagine it in the shape of a ball. And if you need to adjust your body so that you can find a center line, so if you're leaning a bit one side or front or back, just adjust to sense this radiance that's carried on your breath as you breathe in hum, as you breathe out sa. just listen to your breath. It's probably quite gentle and quiet. Hum. Sa. This is said to be like the mantra that we are breathing. Sometimes, in fact, most often, we're unconscious of. But you're just bringing your consciousness to this now, your awareness to the sound of your breath as you're breathing in, hum, and the sound of your breath as you're breathing out, sa. Three more times. Just imagine this pure white light moving from the base of your torso in front of your sacrum, coming up behind your navel, through the center of your chest, between your shoulder blades and collarbones, up through your throat and up into the roof of the mouth and behind your nose and behind your eyes to behind your forehead. And as you breathe out, just imagine it just floating back down. Sa. It's light spreading through you and all around you. Bring your palms together at your chest and set your intention. We'll join together for one.